worshiped with us last Wednesday night. He met with the men for prayer, and then he came out here and worshiped the Lord with us. And according to my text Wednesday night, he rejoiced in the Lord. And they tell me that he went home and had a great deal to say about the message and how helpful it was to him and what a blessing it was to him. And then just a few hours later, at the home of his daughter, Evelyn and Hap Yates, the Lord called him home. Just a few hours after he left the service here, he was standing in the presence of the Lord. Do we learn from these things? Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, I'm both saddened and happy, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I believe Herman could say, and did say, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His funeral will be conducted this afternoon, Carmen Funeral Home, Flatwoods, at 2 p.m. Now, I'm going to speak this morning from the book of Hebrews. I'll read for a text, Hebrews chapter 8. Now, I've wrestled a little with this message because I want to teach the gospel to everybody here. Even before we believe the gospel in our hearts, I believe we can somehow grasp it and understand something about the gospel in our heads. I believe we can. And I believe we preachers ought to preach in simplicity. The Bible talks about the simplicity of Christ. I know we ought to preach clearly and plainly so that people might understand what we're saying. And that's what I want to do so desperately for God's glory, for the good of everyone here, particularly our children. I want our children to understand or to know something about the gospel. You know, Paul said about Timothy, he said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Thou hast known them, and later they were made to you wisdom. Understand what he's saying? You knew them, though. You knew them in your head, and God blessed it later to your wisdom. In Hebrews 8, verse 1, now of the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest. Well, this is not language the average gospel preacher uses. High priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle. These are not words that the average preacher uses today. Paul did. Which the Lord pitched and not man, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, high priest. If a preacher today, these average preacher used words like that, they'd say, what, is he Catholic or something, you know? But this is Paul preaching the gospel. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now that's the way I'm beginning this message, and that's the title of this message. This man must have somewhat to offer. Now, we have an urgent commandment of our Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature. That's his commandment. We have a solemn warning from our Lord. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. We have a glorious promise from our Lord. That gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes it. My, that ought to be incentive. That ought to get everybody's attention. Christ commanded us preach this gospel. He warned us, don't preach another one. He promised us, if we believe it, we'll have life. That ought to be an incentive, shouldn't it? To cause us to desire to know this gospel, at least here, and pray that we'll know it here. And to be certain that our gospel is the gospel. Now listen to me. If a man, a woman, boy, or girl, is really, are you serious? I think sometimes we go through the routine of church and the form of worship. And we just come and sit and do whatever needs to be done, get up and get. But if a man, a woman, boy, or girl is really serious about this gospel business, are you? The gospel. Then we're going to have to become acquainted with the Old Testament. Going to have to. We're going to have to become acquainted with words like priest, sacrifice, tabernacles. That's right. Atonement. We're going to have to become acquainted with these words. Because I know the gospel begins with Christ. Already someone who may hear this tape or something sprang up and say, wait, the gospel begins with Christ. I know that. He's the firstborn of every creature. The gospel began with Christ before there was an Old Testament. Before there was an earth. Before there was a man. Before there was a star. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I know where it starts. The gospel starts with Christ. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But in learning the gospel, in learning the gospel that saves, the gospel of God's grace, you better begin where Christ began when he taught his disciples. Never had time? When our Lord taught his disciples the gospel, where did he begin? With Moses. That's exactly. Isn't that right, John? He began. Let me show you that. Luke 24. Now turn over that. Luke chapter, whole Hebrews. We'll come back in a minute. But Luke 24, when our Lord was going to open the understanding. He had died on the cross, he'd buried, and rose again. And now he talked to these disciples. He's going to teach them. He's going to teach them the gospel, the glorious gospel that they're to go and preach. Now, Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses. Boy, it'd be hard to get today's soul winner to do that, wouldn't it? They got that little 3 or 4 point outline, ABC, all his sin, believe on Christ and confess him. But when our Lord was talking to these disciples, these seasoned veterans, these men had been with him for 3.5 years. These men he'd called from their various professions and they'd followed him and ate with him and slept with him and walked with him and suffered with him and toiled with him and talked with him. He's going to tell them some things now they need to know to take this gospel. So where does he start? With Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. What are the scriptures? Well, Brother Nathan, you hold them in your hand. The scriptures here are the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't written. The scriptures are the Old Testament. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. So he expounded to them all the things in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now look down at verse 44. And he said to them, it's continuation of the same message, continuation of the same teaching, just a different location. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses. That's in the words of Moses, in the laws of Moses, in the books of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. I just seriously doubt that a man really understands the gospel of Jesus Christ who doesn't have some understanding of the Scriptures. I seriously doubt. I hear people say, well, I don't want the old Bible, I want the new Bible. There's just one Bible. One Bible. And I seriously doubt. You see, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The promises and prophecies and pictures and patterns are in the Old Testament. That's where they are. That's the groundwork. That's the foundation. That's the schoolmaster that teaches us Christ. And I doubt that a man who does not understand the Scriptures and the types and pictures in the Old Testament, I doubt he really has a grasp on the gospel. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When he taught them the gospel, he began with Moses. And that's where the serious student's going to begin. And if you're interested, anyone here, I've got a series of studies on Old Testament pictures of Christ. There are 86 of them. I got them right in there in the bookstore. That a man can sit down and study these. You see, when Peter preached at Pentecost, where did he begin? Well, he said, this is that of which the prophet Joel wrote. And then when he started talking about Christ, he said, David wrote of him. And he told how that David was dead in the grave, and the one that he was preaching wasn't David, it was one David talked about. When Stephen was stoned in Acts 7, where did he start preaching? Let me show you that. Turn to Acts 7. This is something. Here's the first martyr. Here's the first man to die for his faith, the first man to suffer martyrdom. And here he is preaching to all these fellows that are gathered around him. He's about to die. And listen, chapter 7 of the book of Acts, he said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken unto me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Shoran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country. Here's a man, Bob, about to die. He's fixing to be stoned for his faith. And they give him space to talk. And what, he doesn't get panicky and start saying, well, Jesus died and rose again. He takes them all the way back to Abraham. That's right. Read it sometime, Acts 7. And he talks about Abraham and Moses and all the prophets and David. He brings them through the wilderness. And then he comes right on up and said, Christ fulfilled all of it. Christ is that Messiah. And that's when they killed him. But he took them back yonder to Abraham. This is where Philip began with the eunuch. Philip climbed up in the chariot beside the eunuch, and where did he go to preach the gospel? Isaiah 53. This is where Paul begins here with the Hebrews. Turn back to our text in Hebrews. Now, Hebrews, let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1. Paul now is writing to the Hebrews. Writing to all these people of God. And he starts in chapter 1 and he says, God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And that's where Paul begins. That's where he begins. He begins with the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And all the way through the book of Hebrews, he's talking about how that Christ is the fulfillment of all those promises and all those prophecies and all those pictures. All those things back there. How that Christ is their fulfillment. Now, let's go to chapter 10. That's where I want. This kind of sums it up. Actually, Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 sort of sums it up. But I want to look at chapter 10. Chapter 10. This is the gospel. All right, chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 1, for the law. Now, when you see the word law, sometimes it means the Ten Commandments. Sometimes it means all the Word of God, the law and the prophets. Sometimes it means the Levitical law of Moses, and that's what it's talking about here. I can sort of shut my eyes and visualize all that God gave Moses on the mountain concerning the tabernacle, concerning the courtyard, concerning the priesthood, concerning the holy place and the holy of holies and the furniture in the tabernacle, and the sacrifices, the morning and noon and evening sacrifices, and all the other bullocks and goats and sacrifices, and the atonement once a year, and how that the high priest came in and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. This, the law here, is that Levitical law, the ceremonies, law of ceremonies, law of baptism, the law of sacrifices, and the law of feast days, and the law of the priesthood. Now, the law, this Levitical law, is a shadow of good things to come. It's not the very image of those things. You see, Christ, when you see Christ, you see the Father. He's the express image of the Father, the exact likeness. But these sacrifices are not the exact likeness of Christ. They're not the express image of Christ. They're but a shadow. They're but a picture, and not the image. And look here, these sacrifices could never take away sin. These sacrifices offered year by year continually never made the comers thereunto perfect. You know, I hear people say, well, God, you know, back in the Old Testament, God saved people under law. He saved them by those sacrifices. He saved them by their obedience. Nonsense. They were saved by the blood of Christ. They were saved by the sacrifice of Christ. They were saved by the offering of the Son of God. Those sacrifices were nothing in the world but shadows and pictures of Christ, promises of Christ to come. And these people, their faith was not in that animal blood. Their faith was in the Lamb of God who would come and shed His blood. So these sacrifices never made people perfect, never justified sinners, never took away sin. Look at verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, when Abel brought his blood sacrifice and it put away his sin, made him perfect and justified, he wouldn't have to offer another one. If they offered one Passover lamb and it put away sin, they wouldn't have to offer another. But because the worshipers once purged would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's the remembrance made of sin again every year. For it's not possible that the blood of goats and the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. These things were pictures and types. These, the priest and the Passover and the rock smitten and the manna and the mercy seat and the sprinkled blood, they were pictures. They didn't put away sin. Is that understood? They couldn't put away sin. They were remembrances of sin. Your sin's still there till Christ comes. Still there. Now look over at chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Now when these things were ordained, in other words, when the old tabernacle stood and the priest offered the sacrifices and the blood was sprinkled year after year on the mercy seat, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, the holy place, accomplishing the services of God. But into the second, into the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people. Now watch this. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while that first tabernacle was standing. These were pictures, patterns. This was a figure. A figure's a picture. For the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Because they stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is to say, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. What tabernacle are we talking about? His body. His body. And neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, all those tabernacle and temple and priesthood and sacrifices and feast days and holy days stopped. They all stopped because Christ came, fulfilled every one of them. Fulfilled every one of them. All right, back to chapter 10 now. That's what he's saying here in verse 5. Wherefore, when he came into the world, when Christ came into the world, he said, this is what he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In other words, he's saying God would have the sacrifices and offerings continue only till Christ came. He never did accept them as our righteousness. He never did accept them as the atonement. He never did have any pleasure in those sacrifices. They were pictures. His pleasure and satisfaction was in the one whom they pictured. That's what he's saying here. When Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. God's had no pleasure. You say, but brother man, it says God had respect to Abel's offering. He had not respect to Cain's offering. He had respect to Abel's offering because of what the offering Abel brought and the state of Abel's heart. Isn't that right? He brought that blood sacrifice in faith. That's the reason God had respect to him. He brought that sacrifice looking to the sacrifice that Christ would make. And God accepted it. The blood of that animal didn't put away Abel's sin. The sacrifice and death of that animal didn't atone for Abel's sins. But that was a picture and a type of Christ who did put away Abel's sins and who did put away death and died for Abel. And that stood until Christ came. It's a picture. See, Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us, that's a picture. All right, verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Thou wouldest not. They could never satisfy God's justice. They could never honor God's law. They could never appease God's anger. They could never put away sin. These pictures and types and sacrifices must be fulfilled by Christ. God didn't have any pleasure in them, offered by the law. But now look at verse 9. Then said he, Christ said, lo, I come. Here comes our high priest, of which all the others are a picture. Here comes our atonement, of which all the others are a type. Here comes our tabernacle, of which all the others are a type. Here comes our mercy seat. Lo, I come, O Lord, to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Taketh away the first what? First tabernacle? We don't go to, people call this a church. This is not a church. This is a building where the church meets. We don't go to a building to meet God. We don't go to a tabernacle or a temple. We don't have a priest to stand here and receive our sacrifices and go into the Holy of Holies and meet God for us. That was all pictures of the man Christ Jesus. He'll do that. He's our Sabbath. He's our sacrifice. He's our atonement. He's our high priest. And when he came, God took away all of that. Took it away. Don't reinstitute it. Don't reordain it. Don't bring it back. Don't bring back the pictures, the form, the ceremony, the holy days, the feast days. Let them be gone. They're all fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You see that? Verse 9, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. What's the first? It's that Levitical law. It's the Old Testament scriptures and all their pictures and patterns. And as we read about the high priest of old, we see Christ and we learn something about Christ's work. As we see the animal, here's the lamb without spot or blemish. They bring the lamb to the altar and slay it. Shed his blood. We see Christ, our lamb, led as a sheep to the slaughter, opened not his mouth, and they crucified him on the cross. They take his body, the body back there, take the lamb, put it on the altar, roast it with fire. We see Christ under the fire of God's wrath, the judgment of hell for us. And then they take that blood and bring it past the holy place, under the veil that separates the holy place and the holy of holies, and comes in the high priest with that blood once a year. There's the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in that ark's the broken law. And that blood with a hyssop is sprinkled on that mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God between the cherubim. We see Christ. Look back here at chapter 9 a minute. Let me show you something. In chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Look back at verse 12 of chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. You see how you learn the gospel? Take that Old Testament tabernacle. And that's what God was teaching Israel. When the rock was smitten and gave forth water, he's showing Christ smitten. When the Passover lamb was slain and the blood was put on the door by faith, and God said, I'll see the blood and pass over you, that animal blood didn't have any power. The power lay in whom it represented. And these people, in faith, slew the lamb. In faith, applied the blood. In faith, they came to the tabernacle. In faith, the high priest offered the sacrifice. In faith. Faith in whom? Faith in Jehovah, who would fulfill every bit of it in Christ. That's the gospel. Substitution and satisfaction. Look at verse 10. Now this is how we're sanctified. Christ said, I came to do thy will, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now we don't have a priest here on the earth. We have a high priest at the right hand of God. So I don't go down here to this building downtown where this man's dressed up and calls himself a priest and wears all the shenanigans, you know, and sit and tell him my sins, and then he goes back here in some other place, sprinkles some water. No. No. Christ is my great high priest. Back in the Old Testament, they had a priest. They had many priests. They had a high priest. They had many sacrifices. Many holy days, many Sabbath days, many atonements, every year. Now it's over. Christ has come. And by the will of God, by the life of Christ, by the blood of Christ, by the death of Christ, we're sanctified once for all. Is that clear? Once for all. Now then, here's the contrast, verse 11, and I'll move along. Here's the contrast. Back in Old Testament days, every priest, my friends, there were many of them, many of those priests. I mean, they lived and they died. They were men. They were born and they died. They served in an earthly sanctuary. They offered animal blood. Their sacrifices were but pictures. They themselves were but pictures. Every priest stands, they stood daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. Will you hear this next word? Which can never take away sin. Now that's the picture. That's the, not the image, pictures, shadows, types of things to come. That went on for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And there were some of God's choice people back then that went through these sacrifices. Moses, Aaron, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, these choice people, Isaiah. And even up till our Lord kept the Passover in the flesh. But when Christ came, watch verse 13. But this man, now there were many priests, he won. They were all men. He's the God-man. They were all born and died. He ever lives. They served in an earthly sanctuary. He's the Lord from heaven. They offered animal blood. He gave his own blood. Their sacrifices were many. His one. Their sacrifices could never put away sin. They were pictures. He, listen, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, they stood. He sat down at the right hand of God. Why'd they stand? There weren't any chairs in that tabernacle. There were no benches or chairs. There were seven pieces of furniture, but no chairs. Why? They never finished their work. They came in and offered a blood sacrifice. The fellow behind them comes in and offers another one. And then the fellow behind him offers another one. And every year, every day. And then the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and offered an atonement, put the blood on the mercy seat. It's not over, brother. He'll be back next year. And he'll be back next year. And he'll be back next year till he gets to be an old man. And he comes in and sprinkles the blood for the last time and goes out. Next year, his son comes in. His son comes. And then he gets old. And then his son comes in. And then his son comes in. And then his son comes in. And they go on doing that till his son came. And when he came and died on that cross, he offered one sacrifice. His blood. And my friends, that's the end of her. It's finished. That's what, it's finished! What do you mean by that? He meant everything the Father gave him to do was finished. He meant that Levitical law was fulfilled. He meant every type, shadow, picture, pattern, and the Old Testament was fulfilled and done away with. Done away with. Verse 13, from henceforth expect him till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath, what says? Perfected. Perfect. And that's God perfect. And that's Christ perfect. And that's law perfect. That's eternally perfect. He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Not all men, them that are sanctified. Them that are called. Them that are washed. Them that believe. Let me move quickly and show you the results. Now, verse 15. You see why we need the Old Testament? And we need to study those Old Testament pictures and types. They show us the glory of Christ and the beauty of Christ and the work of Christ. And I love it when these men take these pictures in the Old Testament and show us Christ. They're using wisdom. They're using wisdom. Verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before in Jeremiah, you want to read this, Jeremiah 31, 33, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days of pictures and types. I'll put my law in their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, no more sacrifice for sin. No more. No more. He uses no more twice there. Because Christ died and bore my sin, God remembers them no more. And because Christ died, because of who he is and what he did, I don't offer no more any more sacrifices. No more. No more sins, no more sacrifice. God remembers my sin no more, God requires no more sacrifice. It's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he's man. All right, now what do we have? Verse 19. Here's our standing. Now, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let me show you this picture. I'll try to be brief. But now listen, here's that tabernacle. Out there in the wilderness, divided by that veil. And in this Holy of Holies is the glory of God. The mercy seat, the ark, the glory of God. And no one was allowed there but one man, the high priest, once a year. And he would, not without blood, he would come into God's presence. And he was there as the representative for all those people out there. He represented God to them and them to God. And God dealt with him. And he put the blood on the mercy seat. And that went on for 2,000 years. That veil was between God and the people. And that representative came in. Now, when Christ died, our high priest, and went not into this Holy of Holies, but into heaven itself, and put his blood before the Father. That veil in the temple was torn in two, ripped in two from top to bottom. And God says, now lest every one of you boldly, with liberty, come into the presence of God. Not into this place here, but into heaven itself, into God's presence. That's right, through the blood of Christ. See, we're priests now. That's right, he has made us kings and priests unto God. Do we offer sacrifices? Yes, we do. Sacrifices of praise and prayer and thanksgiving. Yes, we do. We pray. I don't have to go to a priest and have him go to God for me. Christ is my priest, and he's there at the presence of the right hand of God all the time, and I'm in him. You see, we come by a new and living way. That Old Testament way was the old way, and it wasn't a living way. It was a picture, dead, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having, listen, a high priest over the house of God. Now then, you take your choice. You take one of these titles. You can have him. I want that high priest. It's up to you. I said, people say, well, don't criticize the Catholics or this, that, and that. Well, you take your choice. You can have him. He's a deceiver, and those that follow him are deceived. He's an imposter, and those that follow him are in trouble. We have a high priest over the house of God. It's Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, let us ourselves draw near to God, us sinners, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. His blood justifies, and the water that flowed from his side purifies and sanctifies, and we can come right into God's presence. That's absolutely right. We have the liberty. The veil is rent. We have a high priest. So let's draw near. And verse 23, and I'll close. Let's hold fast our profession. Nothing wavering. Don't let anybody rob you of that joy. Is that helpful? Well, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Pictured in the Old Testament, fulfilled by Christ. And all those things you read back there, Passover, the smitten rock, the manna from heaven, all these things, that's Christ. And we have all those things, but we have it living in the person. And we have that privilege as priest of God to come into his presence. All right, let's sing another hymn, and then we'll worship the Lord with our gifts and our offerings. Number 448.